righty. As people are trickling in, I'd like to take any prayer requests that... am I yelling at you? Seems like I'm yelling at you. What's his name? Cancer?
Cancer in late stages.
Is he a member here or just a friend?
No, they used to attend here, but it's been several years ago.
Okay.
The family, his mother and daddy go to Greenville.
Okay.
But they were here years ago.
How old is Brian, do you know? How old is Brian?
I believe he's 51.
51, wow. So Brian Mosier,
yes.
51 years old, at the latest stages of cancer. So pray for him. Any other prayer requests this morning? Ma'am? Baby Micah Sparks.
My nephew's baby we were praying for.
Is home.
He's come through two heart surgeries.
Yeah, my wife's been keeping me up with the...
He's home.
Amen. Baby Micah Sparks is home. This is the most important thing we'll do today is go before the Lord in prayer. Yes, ma'am. What's her name?
Verda.
Okay, so Friday. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request? Someone over here. Sir?
Sabra. She's in stage 4 heart failure.
Anybody else? I love this, being able to walk around. This is great. So we have five on here, and I'd like to add one, and it's Palma Hodges. She's 91. In here, Danny gave me the request to pray for Palma Hodges, and she's very sick. So that's all the information I have, but she's very sick. So as we pray this morning, keep Brian Mosier, cancer. Micah Spark is home, so praise the Lord for that. Verda fell Friday. Sabra Jones, stage 4 heart failure. I know Larry Russell's out there, and I don't know what class he belongs in, but let's pray for Larry. Just needs a little bit of prayer, and just keep him in mind as he goes through certain procedures. And Palma Hodges, and pray for Debbie Mullins. So as you know, she has cancer, right? And I don't know what everyone knows in here, but she has cancer, and they're not treating her anymore for cancer. And of course Steve teaches this class, but pray for her. She has her good days, she has her bad days. I got an update this morning, but just continue to pray for her and her family. And of course, you know, Levi's over in the UK and is a preacher, but well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Any other prayer requests before I... All right. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We come before your throne of mercy and grace. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to be here, first of all. We don't want to ever take it for granted, as many do. Let's not ever take it for granted that we're able to get up out of bed and be able to be here and get in here. However we came here, Lord, we just want to praise you for it. Not only us being here, Lord, but dear Lord in heaven, I want to praise you, Lord, that you selected each and every one of us to be born, and you have a reason and you have a purpose in not only us being here, but being in this world. And dear Lord in heaven, we want to pray for each and every one of these, Brian and Micah, Verda, Sabra, Larry, and Palma. Pray for all those. Pray for Mr. Mullins. And pray for all the unspoken that might be requested here that people just didn't feel the liberty to say it out loud. But dear Lord in heaven, you know our minds, you know our thoughts, and you know our cares. And we just thank you, Lord, for it. And we love you and we praise you. I pray that you be with us as we go through this lesson on Jonah. And I pray that you just have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, first of all, I want to thank you for your patience as we switch off and on. But I was talking to Marty this morning, and unless Steve shows back up and wants to kick us out of here, which he always can, we give him that right. If he wants to teach, this is his class. But for the next 4 weeks, probably, I'll be your teacher. And we'll be studying the book of Jonah in detail. So what I like to do is I like to recap. I don't know what we got up there. Okay. Thank you, Rick. So I always like to recap. You know, in the military, in the Army, we have this saying, leave no man behind. And in this case, man or woman or lady, leave no one behind. And sometimes, you know, people are out for a couple weeks or haven't been exposed to my teaching, which is different, right? We do this thing together. And so I like to recap to bring everybody up together so we're in sync and then we can move forward together. But let me grab my Bible here. Does anyone remember the song, the scripture song that we've been going over? Anyone at all? Out of all the thousands represented here this morning, we've been going over Psalms 27:4, right? Let's talk about time real quick. Let's see if I can get that. Let me, yeah, I wrote this down. You know, I go through my day, and I don't know if you do this, but I go through my day and something pops into my head and I want to write it down and I want to share it. So, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. If you have your Bible and if you know where Mark is, go to Mark 2, 1. If you don't feel like turning, I'll read it to you, and you're going to have to trust me that I'm reading the correct version, the King James Version, 1611, authorized. That's all I know. So, 2, and it says, chapter 2, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum, and they're talking about Jesus, right? And again they entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. I like that. It was noised that Jesus was in the house. You know what? You really want to talk about Jesus. And when you come into God's house, you come in here, you you feel comfortable talking about football and hunting and all kinds of things, but you know what? Your priority thing you should be talking about is Jesus. It should be noised. It should be noised that Jesus is in the house. And I thought, and then in verse 2 it says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." It was noise that Jesus was in the house. And when people found out, hey, Jesus is in the house, they flocked to him. They packed out that house. They packed it out to the point to where people were standing in the doorway trying to see over the other person just so they could get close to Jesus. And all through the Bible, it talks about how people just wanted to get close to Jesus. You remember the one lady that just wanted to touch the hem of his garment? Because you know why? Because she knew that Jesus had the answer to everything that she needed. And Jesus does have the answer for everything in life. And we'll go over that in a minute. But it says here, verse 3, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto the house for the press, they uncovered a roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Now, you know this story. They couldn't get in the house because it was packed out, because it was noise that Jesus was in the house. And they love their friend. These four people carrying their friend on this cot, on this bed, they love their friend, and they knew the only one that could answer him, the only one that could help him, the only one that could do anything for this person was Jesus. They're like, "I got to get my friend to Jesus." And so they brought him up the stairs outside the building, and in that day they had stairs on the outside of the buildings because people would bathe and different things up under the sun. And so they brought this guy up there because they loved him. And you know what? That's such a good example. All through the Bible, we're talking about Jonah in a few minutes, but all through the Bible, it talks about how God shows how we should love people. And through this illustration of this guy that brought these four guys that brought their friend up on the roof and was just willing to be arrested, willing to be harmed, they're tearing apart this roof to let their friend down so Jesus will have access to him, or he will have access to Jesus. You know why they did that? Because they loved. They loved people. And we should love people like the example in here. And we're talking about Jonah, and we know that Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh, right? And he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He actually got angry at God. Why? Because God had compassion. In the book of Jude, it talks about, "and some having compassion." Well, God had compassion, and he wanted on the people of Nineveh. But Jonah thought at the time he knew better. And so he departed and left because he didn't have the compassion that God had. I think we need to have the compassion that God has, and we need to learn. And you know what? Until the day that the Lord takes us away, we'll be training and we'll be learning and we'll be growing closer and we'll be working on that relationship with Christ. But we need to have compassion more and more each day for not the people that we love or we like or, you know, are like us, but everybody. You know, and that was the thing with Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't like those people. And it clearly shows that. But so that was free of charge. Excuse me. How about Acts? The book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm going to try and stay close to the scriptures this morning because sometimes I go rogue and I lose track of time. And I'm trying to hold myself back a little bit today. But Acts 4:29. My wife and I read this the other day in our devotion, and I thought it was good. Acts 4:29, and it says, now I know what the pastor feels like. You get up here and you get all choked. I go, what? But Acts 4:29. I only get choked up when I'm up here or when I'm yelling at my wife, and there's probably a reason for that both times. I said, don't say what you're about to say. But Acts 4:29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And then verse 31, and when they had prayed, and we prayed this morning, and the Bible teaches us pray without ceasing, be in a constant mindset of prayer. If you're in a constant mindset with prayer, what are you doing? You're communing with God, you're communing with Jesus, and you're fellowshipping with Jesus, and you're growing that relationship with Christ. So 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, it's so powerful, and a lot of people here, maybe you can't get out as much as you did before, but you can pray, and prayer is the most important thing in the world that we can do, regardless of who we are. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So two words I want to remember from this morning. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. I love that. And prayer shakes things. Prayer shakes things. You want to, sometimes you just want to go to someone and shake them and try and get them to understand, right? Prayer shakes things. I think that's so awesome. No matter how long you've been here, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been reading in the Bible, something new pops out at you. And God is so good. A couple months ago, we talked about time. Rick, what'd you do to me? You'll get me back. Yeah. We talked about time. And time is precious, and I talked about how you can't get more time, right? You can get more money, but you can't get more time. And I painted it like hopefully it wasn't a dim outlook with that message, but I have good news. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5, and if you want to turn to Ephesians, go ahead. I've never been one of those people that always got to the verse first. So Ephesians 5:15, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I know you've heard messages on this, but redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What is it saying? It's saying, hey, yeah, you can't get more time. You can get more money, you can't get more time. And so you want to have the sense of urgency to do things when the Lord puts it on your heart. But it says here, somehow you can redeem the time. And I was thinking about that, and I've heard messages on it, and I understand. But redeeming the time, that means you can buy back. You can buy back that time. And not only can you buy back that time, you know, you go through life, you work or you do things, and then you go to sleep and you wake up and you do it all over again. And somehow you look back and it's like, wow, where'd that time go? You know why? Sometimes we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention when we're living. We don't pay attention as we go through life. And not only the word buy back time, but I think another way of saying it is you're regaining possession. You're regaining possession of that time. And there's a few things I wrote down about time here. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You buy back that time, you regain possession, so you got control. You're living life on purpose. You're living life with a goal at the end of each day or at the end of each year, at the end of your life. You work towards that goal, and that goal is the will of God for your life. But you got to regain it, and you got to live on purpose, and you can't let the devil get you off track and go left and right and do all these other crazy things. It says in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise with understanding what the will of the Lord is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was looking at verse 15 and through 17, then verse 20. It says, God says we can redeem time. We can buy it back. We can seek, if we seek Christ first in everything, we get better use of our time. And I wrote this down. It says, after we know His will, pursue it, and we can make wise decisions. We live on purpose, focused on Christ, and then we make wise decisions, as it says in those verses. And let's not waste time with unwise or poor decisions, and also let's not be ungrateful. Verse 20 talks about being thankful. He says, let's not be ungrateful and wallow in self-pity. Verse 20 says, giving thanks for all things. I've never looked at this group of verses, verse 15 through 17, and then looked at 20. It says, walk circumspectly, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be not unwise, pay attention, get godly counsel in everything you do. And then at the end of all that, verse 20, boom, be thankful. Don't be ungrateful. Because you know what ungratefulness does to you? You lose time. You lose valuable time that you'll never be able to redeem if you're not with the Lord. The Lord will help you through anything. So we can seek Christ, we can make wise decisions, and we can be thankful and grateful at the end of the day for everything that He brings us through. After salvation, this is a good recipe. This is a good recipe to grow that relationship with the Lord. All right. So that was my little overview of time. So Rick, next slide, please. And you probably remember this is the second lesson. So the lesson I taught on time was a couple months ago. I just wanted to touch on that, and I was thinking about that. God works on your heart. It's like, you know, I might have left them with something that what they were thinking after that lesson. I got good news. We got a second chance. We can redeem the time. We can take back the possession, and we can apply it and be thankful at the end of the day. Facing giants. We went over this. We talked about David, how God prepared David, and we prepared David to be a godly example. But remember, we talked about, and I had the cracker jack. Satan wants to stop us. Satan wants to trick us. Like the Cracker Jacks will trick you into thinking you're getting something you're not. And so David was prepared. He was dedicated. And he waited on David's revelation. He waited on God's timing before he was crowned king. Next slide, Rick. One thing. Let's try this again, okay? One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and we sing that three times, and inquire in his temple. I just want to give you something to take home. As I pray about the lessons and the direction and what God would have me give you, I just want you to be able to take something, put it in your pocket, and take it home with you. And I think you already got enough to take home, but it's exciting because God's got so much more for us. So I was singing a song with my daughter in the car this morning, and it's that song about, I've never seen the face of my Savior, and one day I will. There's a lot of one thing. One day, and you probably got that in your head already. One day we'll see, one day I'll walk on streets of pure gold, and they say the half has not been told. One day I will. Well, when I explained this song before, I was talking about how David made a commitment to do one thing, and that's to stay in church. To do one thing, stay under the preaching of the Word of God. Don't get offended. Grow thick skin. Don't be offended and then leave church or quit listening to the Word of God. When it's all said and done, that's the main thing that we need. And so let's sing this. And I'm paying attention. I see that Brother Harry's not here, so hopefully Harry's doing well. I know I've seen him every time that I come. So Brother Harry and Brenda, I believe his wife's name is, keep them in mind. If you see them or if you think about calling Brother Harry, he usually sits over there. And I'm new. I don't know anything, but I noticed that he's not here. So let's sing one thing. Ready? Psalm 27:4. There's nothing more precious than singing God's word, because there's nothing better than to take in God's word and hide it in your heart. Because, you know, you might be away from your Bible. You might be away from godly counsel. You might be away from a lot of things. But if you have God's word in your heart, you can reference that. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. He referenced God's word. So let's sing this. One, two, three. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. You know, the first time we sang that, I think I was singing a solo. The second time we sang, and you know, now I think it's like the fourth or fifth time we sang that, and a lot of you sounded pretty good. So let's make it one more time, and then we'll move on. But over the next 4 weeks, I have scripture song that I want you to sing so you can hide God's word in your heart. I'm not assuming that everybody knows everything, but you know, you'll be going home tonight, or you'll be eating lunch, and you'll be like, one thing have I desired, and that's great. So let's sing this again. One, two, three. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. That's awesome. Sing God's word. There's a lot of things you could be singing. There's a lot of things that you do sing and have sung. And I know some of the stuff that I sang before I got saved, but praise be to God, God gave us a new songbook that we can have in our mouth, right? A new song. He's given us a new song. So, next slide. All right, today we're going to be talking about Jonah. That was a long introduction. Next slide, Rick. Jonah, a God of second chances. And let me skip a bunch of stuff so we can get to the meat of this. Okay, everyone's got their handout. If you want to turn to the book of Jonah. Just to recap, continue to recap. I'm looking for my notes here. So it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he says, go this way, and he went that way. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I told you last time I was here, there was four things I got out of there immediately when I read those verses, 1-3. And I said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And you know, when the word of the Lord comes unto us, what a blessing. What a blessing that God would even allow us with that treasure to be able to tell us what his word is. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. But the problem is Jonah just disregarded it. And oftentimes we know the word of the Lord. We know what the Bible says. We know what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And we disregard it. You know, God's put these stories and facts into the Bible, like the story of Jonah, for our benefit. Let's learn from other people. All these people, you know, like I tell my kids sometimes, you know, it's not that I'm all that smart, but I'm around the corner a little bit and I see what's ahead. Just learn from me because I'm around that corner. Let's learn from Jonah. He's around that corner. He sees things that we don't see. And the Lord always sees things that we don't see. But what a privilege. And so the second thing is, that jumps out at me, that Jonah fled from the very presence of God. Sometimes we run away. You know, if you hear in battles where people get disoriented, and instead of running back to help, they run forward into the enemy. And they get disoriented in the wood line, and you know, they think they're going back to their camp or to their company, and they end up going right into the enemy. We do the same thing. Sometimes we get in trouble, or we get in a valley where we're getting blessed, or we're in a mountain where we're getting blessed, or we're in a valley where we're going through a hard time. And oftentimes our first instinct is run into the arms of the enemy. We need to run towards the Lord. We need to go in that direction. And a third thing that I was talking about was was Jonah found a ship and paid the fare of. And I said this before. He got in the boat and he paid the fare. Oftentimes, you know what? Anytime you run from God and you get into the enemy's ship, you're going to pay a price. And oftentimes it's a price you don't want to pay. And the last thing, and went down into it with them. And it says, Jonah went down into the ship with them. There was other people there, obviously, but who knows? There might have been people following him as he went down into the ship. It says with them. You never sin alone. You're carrying people. People are watching you. People are watching you, and you're carrying people with you. And that's so important. Not only little ones, but Christians that look up to you. Just be careful. And then we talked about Jonah's name. And I'm not going to go back to a lot of this next time. But Jonah's name, he's the son of truth. His name means son of truth because his dad's name, Amittai, his name means truth. So Jonah was the son of truth. Although he didn't regard that truth very well when he went the other direction and fled from the Lord. And it says our names are so important. Proverbs 22:1 says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and love and favor rather than silver or gold. You know, you go after money and you're trying to get ahead, and I understand a lot of that. But sometimes you leave casualties behind. And oftentimes one of those casualties is your good name. Once you lose your good name, it's hard to get it back. It's hard to reestablish and get it back. And so Proverbs has a lot of wisdom there. A good name is better than precious ointment, it says in Ecclesiastes 7:1. And I talked about, you think when you hear certain names, you think certain things. You know, you hear of Hitler, and your mind goes to a certain place. It's not good. You hear Apostle Paul, you hear of, you know, one of the greatest missionaries outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think, you know, other thoughts. But the solution to turmoil is always what I said prior. The solution to turmoil is running to the Lord. It says there has never been nor will there ever be a problem that God's word cannot solve. This book right here has the solution, and it's timeless. It has the solution to every situation and every problem that we encounter in our life. Every one. Sometimes I failed, but this has never failed me. And that's important to know, that you can always go back. Isaiah 55:10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may grow seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, so shall my word," talking about my word, "be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." God's word will never return void. We know that. But not only that, it'll prosper where I sent it. He's sending his word out, and Isaiah 55:10-11 says it will prosper. Well, God's word is being sent out, and it will prosper wherever it goes. But what's the vehicle? How do you get that word out? The Lord Jesus Christ, and God is using us to send his word out. And you know, we don't want to knock on a door, or we don't want to go here, we don't want to go there, we don't want to talk to him, or we don't want to talk to her because we're nervous, or we don't want to be rejected. Isaiah 55:10-11, "And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." God's word will prosper. Man often is unaware of his condition or his need. Jeremiah 17:9 states, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And we know that verse. We've heard it over and over and over. But what we need to do is not trust us, but trust him. And Hebrews 4:12 says, declares, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I only have a few minutes, but next week we're going to talk, we'll jump right into it. I won't recap a lot, but we'll jump right into Jonah's negligence. And I'm not sure if that's the next slide. Rick, you got the next slide? Jonah's negligence. He had a willful deafness and a woeful disaster. Sometimes the Lord says to us, go, like he did to Jonah, and sometimes we will say no. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you turn in your Bible, this is the last thing today before we depart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm not sure if that's next up there, Rick. Do I have that verse? How about the next slide? Keep going until you hit Proverbs. Right there. All right. There's another scripture song. We will stop singing Psalm 27:4, and we'll start singing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. You want to try it? All right, we got a minute. One, two, three. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not unto our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him. When you first wake up, and before you go to bed at night, acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? He's going to direct our path. He's going to give us his word. It will not return void. And he will direct our path. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us. We want to pray for the message from the pastor. We want to pray for the next, for the preaching of God's word. We pray that you hide the pastor behind the cross. We pray that you'll meet with us, and we pray for all those other classes that are going on today. We love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.